Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue talking about the differences between Eastern dragons and Western dragons. Last time we described the Eastern or Chinese dragon. They're like long snake-like creatures. They've got four legs. They can fly. They're associated with water. They dwell in bodies of water. They can control rain and floods and stuff like that. And they have the physical attributes of different kinds of creatures likethe body of a snake, talons of an eagle. They've got antlers and stuff like that. And, of course, they're a big part of Chinese culture as well, descended from the Yellow Emperor. I'm not going to get into that story. You all know that story pretty much. But today, we're actually going to focus on Western dragons and how they are different from Chinese dragons.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised to learn, frankly, that they were different. I thought our dragons were similar, but it turns out the Chinese dragon is a lot nicer and benevolent and brings prosperity. It can be small or large, but the Western dragon's pretty darn mean and breathes fire and has wings. So we're going to spend some time talking about the Western dragon and where it comes from in our culture.Tom and I are both Western people. And then we'll break down some of these termsthat you can use in other articles that you might be studying or writing. Some of these are great vocabulary words. But as we always do, guys, we're going to read through today's lesson first.
Western dragons are a completely different mythical animal. These enormous lizards...mostly have wings and are generally depicted with four legs, though a more recent trend has been for them to have two back legs and two front limbs that form wings. Dragons in Western literature are more often than not evil, destructive monsters, many of which are cunning and can speak with humans. Their best known trait, of course, is their ability to breathe fire,though in some stories and games, dragons of different colors can breathe cold mist, acid, and even lightning. Their origins lie in ancient legends of sea serpents, which are slain by heroes in battles that symbolize the victory of order over chaos. The idea of a snake as an enemy also appears in the story of creation in the Bible, where the devil takes this form to tempt Eve.Other wicked characteristics ascribed to Western dragons include a love of eating young women and a desire for treasure, which they collect and guard. Thus, saving the women and recovering the treasure also became part of typical heroic myths, such as those of St. George and the Dragon and Beowulf. While dragons have never gone out of fashion in fantasy literature,they are certainly experiencing a recent surge in popularity. Smaug in the Hobbit movie series and those appearing in Game of Thrones are recent examples of a long line of dragons that have appeared in books, movies, computer games, and more. So, whether you prefer Chinese or Western dragons, there's no denying the power these majestic and terrible beings have over our imaginations.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a look at the Western dragon in this particular lesson. The Western dragons are a completely different mythical animal from the dragon of the East that we talked about in day one of this unit. We're describing the Western dragon as being an enormous lizard. When I think of a lizard, I think of a very small little reptile that runs around in the desert.I grew up in the desert, so we had lots of lizards. But if they get to be enormous, they can be kind of threatening and very scary looking. Our dragons, in Western culture at least, are not benevolent or kind, or they don't bring prosperity. They're there to destroy and breathe fire. So they are very, very different from the Chinese dragons that we talked about a little earlier. They're generally depicted or portrayed with four legs. I mentioned that we can substitute that verb to portray with depict, and that's what we're doing here. So you kind of illustrate something, describe it. When you depict something, you're letting people know what it's like. So they're generally drawn or shown with four legs, though a more recent trend has been for them to have two back legs and two front limbs that form wings. When you talk about a limb, you're either talking about an arm or a leg.
Yeah, indeed, the limbs there. So this is how the Western dragon is depicted or shown with those four legs. And nowadays they have the two back legs, I guess kind of like Tyrannosaurus Rex here, and then two front limbs, which actually form wings. I guess that kind of resembles a chicken to me. It's got the 2 feet at the bottom, and then it doesn't really have any arms, but it has wings, which are basically the arms. You know, the chicken can stick the wings out and try to fly. I'm not sure if chickens can fly that much or not. Who cares? They make great Gung Bao Ji Ding in any case. But in any case, we're talking about dragons. And dragons in Western literature are more often than not evil, destructive monsters, many of which are cunning and can speak with humans. So here, dragons in Western literature are more often than not. So here this phrase, more often than not, just means mostly, most of the time, they are evil. Probably about 80-90% of the time, Western dragons are bad creatures. They're evil. They're running with the devil. They want to send your soul to hell or do nasty things, kill you, cut you up and stuff like that. They're also destructive, which means they like to destroy things.
Yeah.
They like to burn down houses and make mountains tumble down and stuff like that and kill people. And so they're monsters. They're not creatures, but they're actually monsters, which are scary. And many of those dragons are cunning, which means they're actually very smart, but they're always coming up with skills or techniques, if you will, to cheat other people. That's when you're cunning. When you're cunning means you're very smart, but you're trying to do something for your own benefit.
Yeah, I would say cunning's not always positive. If you call someone cunning, usually you're describing someone who's very bright, very intelligent, who is using that intelligence to get what they want, usually at the expense of someone else, by hurting someone else, maybe tricking you, fooling you into doing what they want you to do. But these are cunning creatures or monsters. You know, you mentioned that they're described as monsters rather than creatures. A creature is more, it's not positive or negative. It could be either one. But if you say it's a monster, oh, that's a bad guy. So they can speak with humans. Now, their best known trait or quality or characteristic, of course, is their ability to breathe fire. That's what dragons in the Western world are known for most, is that fire that's so scary, comes out of their mouths. Though in some stories and games, dragons of different colors can breathe cold mist. Acid, yikes, and even lightning. I haven't heard of these particular dragons. So if you're talking about someone's traits, again, that's, you're describing their characteristics or qualities, what someone's actually like. Here, they can breathe fire. Have you heard of these dragons, Tom, that can breathe cold mist, which is kind of like cold air, and acid? Lately, we've been hearing about in London that they've been having acid attacks. Guys are throwing acid on other guys and gangs and things.
Wow.
And can destroy your sight. It can burn your skin so badly that you're then deformed. But these dragons can actually breathe acid, which is very damaging. And even lightning. Wow.
Yeah, you asked me if I'd heard of this.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I think this is kind of a recent phenomenon.
Oh.
I'm not a nerd. I'm not a Jynon. I don't know the term for that in English, but I don't stay at home all the time playing video games or reading fantasy novels.
Oh.
But I suppose these things are all part of these books, breathing fire and breathing acid and lightning and stuff like that.
Maybe
I haven't really heard of that.
Yeah.
I did want to mention the word breathe. In this particular case, it means you're only exhaling. The dragon is only spitting out fire. But I guess we just don't have another word for that. I guess you could say exhale fire, but nobody says that.
No one says that, yeah.
So it takes in air and then it breathes out fire. And I guess more recently, as we've mentioned, they do more than just fire. They have cold mist, like fog, I guess, acid, and even lightning. Maybe they even breathe out other things like, solar ejections or whatever from the sun. But that's something else you could imagine in a fantasy novel. Let's move on now to the next paragraph. It says, their origins lie in ancient legends of sea serpents, which are slain by heroes in battles that symbolize the victory of order over chaos. So, again, we're talking about the modern depiction of dragons. So, where do these images come from? Well, their origins, where they come from, lie in ancient legends of sea serpents. So, to lie in means that's where it is, that's where it comes from. So, these origins come from these ancient legends of thousands of years ago from Roman, Greek mythology, Norse mythology. They've got these old stories talking about sailors on the ocean and they're fighting these sea serpents. You've got the heroes out there. They're on these boats and they slay these creatures. These creatures are slain or killed by heroes in battles that symbolize the victory of order over chaos. To symbolize means to represent. Order means things are in order. They're easily understandable. Nobody's getting hurt. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Everybody knows where things are. But chaos means things are confused and things are all over the place. Mm-hmm. Kind of like traffic jams in Taipei during rush hour. It's all chaos at that time.
Yeah, usually when you have some sort of natural disaster, there's a lot of chaos. Things aren't very orderly. So they actually symbolize the victory of order over chaos. Now, the idea of a snake as an enemy also appears in the story of the creation in the Bible, where the snake tempts Eve and gets her to eat the forbidden fruit. That's what they're talking about here, where the devil is taking the form of a snake or the serpent. You can also call a snake a serpent, to tempt Eve, to get her to do something that she shouldn't do. So that's tempting someone. Things that usually tempt us nowadays are doing things we really shouldn't do, like eating a whole gallon of ice cream at night instead of just going to bed with an apple as a snack. Or maybe you're tempted to skip school or skip class and go out and hang out with your friends for the day, watch a movie, go play video games together. Here, we're talking about that serpent or snake being used to represent the devil who tempts Eve. Now, there are other wicked characteristics ascribed to Western dragons that we're going to talk about, guys. But first, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to continue talking about these other wicked characteristics. Stay tuned.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要继续来看有关龙的传说，它在东西方之间的不同。那我们之前呢，主要谈的是在中国 Chinese dragons， 他们的样貌跟对于他们的解释，其实跟西方文化里面的龙真的非常不同。那我们现在就来看西方的龙。西方龙是完全不同的一种神话生物。我们知道 myth, M-Y-T-H, 代表神话， mythical 就是神话的。所以说在西方来讲，龙当然是一种神话中的传奇。而它们的样子是什么样子呢？长得就像蜥蜴。好，我们看到蜥蜴它会有四只脚，而且在西方的龙里面，它们还有长翅膀，这也是跟Chinese dragons 不同的地方。那说它有四只脚，哎，不过还有其他最大的特色，就是现在啊，我们来看到文学里面他谈到的西方的龙，可能是有两条后腿站着，然后前面有一双前肢形成的翅膀，这可能是在西方文学里面常常看到的。那我们提到这个常常看到啊，可能最简单的字是 often， frequently, 可是这边看到这个片语 more often than not, 这个可以背起来，因为我们比较少见的就要特别注意，它一样代表往往。好，常常如此，那后面又继续说了，其实呢，在西方文学里的龙，就意义上来说，常常是负面的，所以他提到他们是邪恶，而且 destructive 就是有毁灭性的这样子的怪兽。接下来我们还要继续说明哦，所以看到逗点后面写着 many of which are cunning and can speak with humans, 看到这一边，这很明显，你看到了 which 就知道这跟冠带有关系。的确，这个句子后半句这里讲的就是像一个关系子句一样，可是我们知道关系子句呢，它有一种变化的用法，就是在它前面呢再加一个不定代名词，像 many, several, a few, two, both, all 等等等。好，那当然这要跟前面的前半句连接在一起，你指的是前面说的这个 monsters里面有很多是怎样。那如果你有不定代名词放在这种结构里，记得你一定是用非限定用法，也就是一定会有逗点隔开。好，当然这就表示后半句这里是要补充说明的，我们要顺便再说一下这样子的毁灭性的怪兽啊，很多都是如何。好，再来继续往下看，下面呢说到西方的龙，那西方的龙样子不同，能力也不一样，而且提到起源那更是有趣了。下面说到起源，古老的传说里面说它是来自于海蛇，而且我们知道神话故事里面都有讲哦，神话里的英雄会把这些海蛇给砍杀斩断。注意到这边用到了一个逗点再接 which, 一样的有逗点再接 which, 这是一个关系子句没有错，而后面这个关系子句还是用来补充说明用的。好，接下来后面又提到说，在西方文学里面或者在西方的世界里面，他们说到蛇它是一种敌人，而这在圣经的故事里也有提到，因为魔鬼就是用蛇的形态去诱惑夏娃。看到这个片语吗？ Take this form to tempt Eve, take shape, take form, 这都代表形成、采用或者是用什么样的形态。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, everybody, let's talk about those characteristics of Western dragons. I bet most of you prefer the Chinese dragon over the Western dragon, but for your information, we're describing Western dragons in today's program, and we still see depictions of Western dragons in fantasy games that you might play online, or if you read fantasy novels or watch TV shows like Game of Thrones and stuff like that.
That's true.
This is probably pretty important information if you want to understand these things in popular culture. So again, we talked about a snake in the Bible there in the Garden of Eden tempting Eve. And we've got some other wicked characteristics ascribed to Western dragons, and they include a love of eating young women and a desire for treasure, which they collect and guard. So these are wicked characteristics. Wicked is similar in meaning to evil.
Right.
Evil's worse, though. Wicked just means really, really bad. But if you can describe someone as being very wicked, it means they're bad. They're always up to no good. They are rotten to the core.
Yeah, but you're right. I think of evil as being worse. If you describe someone as being evil, they almost have no good in them. But if someone's wicked, maybe sometimes, they do things they shouldn't do, but other times they're okay. But yeah, wicked, you're evil or morally corrupt or wrong. We use it to talk about the Wicked Witch in some of our fairy tales, the Wicked Witch. Here there are wicked characteristics that are ascribed describe to or given to or used to describe Western dragons, and they include a love of eating young women. Sounds like a guy wrote that. And then a desire for treasure. Who doesn't desire treasure? Treasure is some sort of fortune that's buried, typically. Treasure comes from a pirate ship, you know, trying to rob another ship and then go away with this chest of treasure, maybe gold inside, and they bury it, which they collect and guard. So these dragons are often guarding things that are very valuable. For example, in The Hobbit, he's got all those gold coins that he's guarding. He doesn't want the hobbits or anybody else to get a hold of that treasure. So that's one thing that they do, at least in the Western version of a dragon.
Indeed. So they are wicked. They're evil. They eat young women, although I'm sure they kill many more young men. But in any case, thus, therefore, saving the women and recovering the treasure also became part of typical heroic myths, such as those of St. George and the Dragon and Beowulf. Okay, so thus, therefore, because these dragons like to collect treasure and guard it,And they like to eat young women. So therefore, it's a theme of these heroic stories. The theme of saving the women. Go there and save the women and recover the treasure. Get that treasure back and give it back to who it belongs to. These themes or ideas have become part of these heroic myths. If something is heroic, it has to do with heroes. So it's a story about heroes, usually rough and tough men who go out riding on horseback with some people with them, and they try to fight something terrible, and a bunch of people die, but the hero emerges victorious at the end, so that would be an heroic tale. George, St. George and the Dragon, I don't remember that heroic myth.
I don't know that, yeah.
I'd have to look that up, but I'm sure most of you might know about Beowulf, which is all about these men going out and killing dragons and stuff like that.
Yeah, Beowulf was something that most of us had to study, at least in high school, if not in college, but it's an epic poem. It was written back in the 8th century AD. So let's move on to the final paragraph here. While dragons have never gone out of fashion in fantasy literature, they are certainly experiencing a recent surge in popularity. If you go out of fashion, you're no longer in style. Usually we talk about fashion in terms of clothes and shoes and accessories like that. So if someone wants to dress in fashion or be in style, they usually go and buy the latest fashions that are available in the shops. But we also use it to talk about something that's not popular anymore. Yeah, that's really gone out of fashion. That type of music is no longer in style or no longer in fashion. To go out of fashion is the present tense of that. Now, they're certainly, though, experiencing a recent surge in popularity. A surge is something that we use when we talk about, I don't know, sometimes we use it to talk about a water that's coming in faster and faster. So it's a sudden, powerful movement that's coming in. Or maybe we talk about at a pop concert, the crowd surging towards the stage. So they're all moving in a big force towards the stage where the singer or the band is performing. Surge here, though, is a sudden increase in something. So there's been an increase in popularity in these dragons in some of the fantasy literature that's popular, or even these video games that are coming out.
Yeah, your electronics might have fuses in them in case there's a surge in electricity.
Oh, yeah.
So the fuse will burn out instead of your whole electrical system.
We call those strips a surge protector. If there's too much electricity at once, it hurts your computers.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Indeed. So, but nowadays, of course, dragons have experienced or enjoyed a surge in popularity. They have become very popular recently. I've mentioned this example before. Smaug in the Hobbit movie series. I think there were three of them. And also those appearing in Game of Thrones are recent examples of a long line of dragons that have appeared in books, movies, computer games, and so on. So Game of Thrones, I've heard about that. Lots of people are fans of that. It's a book and also a TV series, right?
Yeah, I don't watch Game of Thrones. We have a friend, a mutual friend, Tom, Brian, who loves Game of Thrones. He read all the books. And, of course, it's very popular. It's a TV series, that's ending pretty quickly here. So they have a long line of dragons, that have appeared in books, movies, computer games, and more. It's kind of fun to find them in fantasy, literature. So whether you prefer the Chinese version or the Western version of the dragon, there's no denying the power that these majestic and terrible beings have over our imaginations. When you're saying there's no denying, it's just, you know, there's too much evidence to prove the opposite. So you can't deny that they have a lot of power, and that they're being described as majestic means they're quite massive and big. And we use majestic to talk about people who have royal blood a lot of times.
Yep.
If we're talking to a king or queen, we'll often address them as your majesty. So we use majestic as an adjective to describe beautiful mountain ranges that are quite big and beautiful and bold. Majestic mountains.
Purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain.
Yeah, that's one of our songs.
A patriotic American song there.
Yeah.
But in any case, that's majesty. But majestic here is the adjective. We're describing dragons as being majestic creatures. And, of course, we can also imagine them as being terrible, evil, and wicked beings. And, of course, all of these come from our imaginations. These creatures don't really exist, although I'm not sure. Does the Chinese dragon really exist, or did it exist in the past? I'm not quite sure. And I also wanted to mention that there are more dragons than just the Western and Chinese dragons. There are probably dragons from all sorts of cultures, the Australian Aborigines, or people from Africa or India. They probably got pretty cool dragons too, so do some research and tell us about those dragons.
Yeah.
We'd like to know. But in any case, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Time now to hear from our Chinese teacher.
好，我们继续来看。说到蛇和现在想到龙，当然这些是有关系的，而且也因为圣经里的故事，我们认为西方他们看法里龙是代表邪恶的。那我们继续来看，我们说到了神话故事里面，就不要忘记，诶，有一个故事，像是圣乔治以及龙，还有 Beowulf 这里面的神话。我们注意到这句话，他说到 Typical heroic myths such as those. 好，为什么用 those? 基本上我们要往前看，前面就是在说所谓的英雄神话，典型的英雄神话，而我们要举例的时候，举的就是这一些英雄神话。那所以你的 those 其实就是代替 myths, 或者是说 heroic myths。好，接下来下面这一段我们谈到了龙，它在奇幻文学里面往往都会出现，而且其实啊，最近大家都很喜欢看跟龙有关的，像他提到哈比人系列的故事，诶，还有像在权力游戏里面的这边都有龙，所以不管电影也好，文学也好，甚至于电玩也好，都是有龙这样子的出现。那最后就说，不管你是 prefer Chinese or Western dragons, 我们知道 prefer 就代表喜欢，你是偏好中国龙还是偏好西方龙，他最后告诉你 there's no denying, 诶，这个句型很重要， there's no denying, 我们用 there is no 后面加 V-I-N-G, 就表示不可以，不可能怎么样，比如说这里是无法否认的 denying, 如果你是讲 there's no telling, 那就是没办法分辨 there's no knowing, 无法知道，所以这里是无法否认的。好，后面的结论就是这些具威严而且骇人的生物，他们所有的能力远远超出我们的想象。好，我们今天讲解就到这里，我们下次见。
That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us today, and make sure you join us again next time. You don't want to miss out. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.